Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell were here with us in the studio about 3 weeks ago to talk about the release of their new album, Old Yellow Moon. And here's the first song that they recorded for us. This is Chase the Feeling.
It takes one to know one, baby, I know how you feel. You got your hunger and some problems that are real. You've been dealing with some demons who are driving you insane. I've seen them drag you screaming down the hallways in your brain. You got loaded again. Ain't you handsome when you're high? Nothing matters, chase a feeling till you die. Let it ride on in there, baby, let it ruin your life. Let it run your children off, let it run your life. Let it take the joy you love, turn it to despair.
Chase the Feeling, Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell, and it's one of the songs from their wonderful new release, Old Yellow Moon. So this album then, and the drawing together of the songs and the feeling for this album, just describe how it's all come about.
Well, you know, Rodney and I met in 1974. I met through his wonderful song, Bluebird Wine, which I heard that Brian Hearn played me when we were looking for material for my first album. And I was just stunned. It was just one of those great things that come into your life, you know. And so we tracked him down and had a meeting. And that he came and sat in with me at club I was playing in Washington, D.C., and then he sang me Till I Gained Control Again. So we were pretty much off and running in our friendship and our musical collaboration. He went on to play on the first record and join the Hot Band, and it's just been a wonderful friendship over the years. We always talked about, hey, we're going to do our duet record one of these days. And one of these days is finally here.
Yeah. Because I sense that the preparation for this record, the way you built it up with Brian and everything else, was in its way actually quite similar to the way that you, when you first got introduced. Because, you know, kitchen table, a lovely relaxed atmosphere, working up songs, playing each other's songs. Is that the way that this has happened?
I said earlier today, you know, this is a culmination of a 40-year conversation. You know, we've been talking about songs since day one. It's like, oh, have you heard this song? I'm driving over here to do your show. Emmy's talking about songs that somebody's played for her. It's like songs, you know. the magic of the universe is in the form of song. We're always trying to track it down.
Yeah, but it's kind of like that, isn't it, really? And I mean, I sense that there was a very organic process in the lead up to the recording of Pieces in the Sky. Emmy, would that be right? That it just, I don't know, it's one of those magical things that kind of just fell together.
Seems like it probably did fall together. I mean, in the sense that I had all these extraordinary people around me. First of all, Graham, who of course was no longer there, but he brought Eddie Tickner into my life, who became my manager, who was Graham's manager. Eddie brought Mary Martin, who was head of a brilliant music person. It's hard to really say all the things that, if you start going into the history and dissecting history of a lot of the music we love, she's kind of everywhere as a manager and introducing people to each other, and then head of A&R for Warner Reprise. And so she signed me, and then she brought Brian Ahern as a producer, and Brian brought, you know, Rodney to me as a writer, and then a great musical cohort.
So I mean, it's a sort of rolling ball. And this also strikes me as being the new album, a demonstration of the wonderful community feeling within Nashville as well. Because you both see each other a lot, don't you, as part of the course of your lives. Your lives overlap.
Well, I think that's the reason we're sitting here today, is because it wasn't just like we had a musical collaboration for a little while and then that was done and our lives go on. It's like Emmy's been blood to me all along, you know. And you know, there may be long periods of time when she's in another part of the world and I am, and we don't see each other. But when we do see each other again, it's like no time has passed. You know, we don't have to work to get back to square one. It's just right where it left. You know.
So you've been thinking about doing this for some time, but then when was the moment that you both decided, oh, let's just do this album now?
Well, I did call Rodney, and I don't know whether it's because I had finished, you know, A Hard Bargain and worked it pretty hard on the road, and I didn't really have anything else on my plate. I didn't have any other projects, and it was like, oh, at last, you know, I'm actually at a point where I can actually do this record that has been on, for lack of a better word, my bucket list of something that I've wanted to do. So, you know, I called Rodney because both of us are very busy. I mean, you know, we're always making records, touring records. Rodney is producing records, writing songs. Mm-hmm. It's not like either of us have a lot of downtime. He was on board. He said, let's do it. And we looked at our calendars and said, let's shoot for this particular period of time, and enlisted Brian, and then just went to town.
So song selection then, how did you decide what it was that you wanted to record?
Normally when I make a record, it's something that I've written, and I think it's sort of predictable that I would come, you know, write songs and make a record. And with this one, it's like, oh God, this is an opportunity just to go in there and sing songs with Emmy. I don't care if I don't write any of them. And in fact, of the four songs of mine that we did on the record, I have to say that Brian and Emmy are responsible for three of them. I only really brought one up.
Because some of the choices for this record are absolutely fascinating. Bull Rider, because Bull Rider was a song of yours, wasn't it, Rodney, that Johnny Cash did it.
Yes, he did.
In the late 70s.
He did it definitively.
Is that the reason that you hadn't done it prior to this?
It was, but I must say that Nora Jones recorded it, and she is the one who proved to me that I could do the song, because her version was so charming. You know, Johnny Cash, you know, is like I think it was John Prine that said, you know, his voice sounds like Abraham Lincoln to him. So it's like, well, I can't do that. But when I heard Nora Jones do it, I said, you know, I started doing it live on the road again, and found its charm again.
And here we are. George Jones recorded Here We Are.
Yeah, with me.
Yes, I mean, that's right, in 79.
It was the first time I recorded with George, and it was up to, they said, you know, you can bring a song. Well, of course, I'm, you know, Rodney's biggest fan. I knew all his material that he'd written at that point. I'd always hear him almost first, you know, hot off the presses. And I loved that song, and so brought it to George, and we did it. And that was a long time ago, and I just felt for this project, lyrically, it spoke. If we had wanted to been real obvious, we could have called the album Here We Are. At last. Here We Are, whether you like it or not. you know, it just is such a wonderful story, much more than actually as great of a song as it was for me and George. To me, there's such a beautiful backstory about a friendship and people who have been, you know, down the road paralleling and have been friends. I mean, I read that into the song.
Okay, well, let's hear another song from the album then. How about Dreaming My Dreams?
I hope that I won't be that wrong anymore. Maybe I've learned. Did I find what I'm reaching for, the way that it is?
My Dreams, Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell with us in the studio on Bob Harris Country, BBC Radio 2. So then as you began to build up the thoughts for the album, and you're beginning to compile the songs you want to include, then the players then, again, what were your thoughts about who you wanted to have join you on this record?
Well, we definitely wanted to invite the original Hot Band to at least have some part of it. But we didn't want to hold ourselves to that, because, you know, it's a bit dangerous sometimes if you start with a concept that seems chiseled in stone. I think you have to be real loose and let a record become what it's going to be. And like Hanging Up My Heart was a perfect vehicle for the original Hot Band, although Hank didn't feel confident about his... He's really gone on to be quite a wonderful photographer and has kind of let the pedal steel slide. But it was his song.
Yes.
So, in a sense, he is participating in that song in a really big way.
And were you all gathered in the studio at the same time? I mean, was this an actual sort of reunion of the...
For some of it. Yeah. And then there were songs that... I love Rodney's guitar playing. I mean, to me, most of this record centers around the way he plays guitar, his groove, the Rodney groove. And so a lot of it we cut with just maybe Rodney on guitar, maybe Brian playing something, me singing, or I might be playing a bit of guitar, and getting the vocals and getting that arrangement, getting that feel, and then bringing people into overdub, or also doing it with different repertoire of musicians. So there were all different ways that it was. We birthed this baby in a lot of different ways.
We got in there and bashed it out sometimes, you know. Imitation of Blues was just a really great band in the studio, and we just recorded it. Added a fiddle player, went back in and put another part on, and there's your record.
One of the things that I love this phrase that you've used, Rodney, to sort of describe where you are with Emmy right now, and you said about, for both of us, everything that's gone before was just the beginning. And what an incredible way of looking. I love that way of looking at things, you know.
Truthfully, you know, a few people have said, you know, why now? Why so long? And I really think, honestly, and I said, now is a perfect time. I think what I bring to a collaboration with Emmy at this time, I have more to offer, I think, than I've had to offer at any time. And my beloved friend is like, I'm happy to say I was able to bring the best of myself to it, you know. So it really is. Today's the beginning of the rest of this, you know.
Yes, exactly. And, I mean, I will mention the fact that when I was broadcasting the track that I played for the first time from the album on my country show a few weeks ago, who should call me sort of at the end of the track, live on air, but Robert Plant was listening, driving home. And, I mean, he was so complimentary about the combination of the two of you and went on to say how fantastic to still feel excited about music. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's an indication of the way this album is being received, that Robert felt he wanted to call me immediately and express his respect for the way that you've gone about this project. It really is absolutely beautiful. I want to congratulate both of you on what is,
you know, you're so
really
blessed to
record.
Still be excited about music,
isn't it?
To be excited about a project. I mean, this project is so special to me. Sometimes you think, oh God, I'll never do another record, I'm so tired, and then all of a sudden you're just so ready to jump in there, and you just can't wait to sing those songs. And of course, being able to have it as a project with Rodney, who I've always loved singing with, always loved hanging out with, it's just like, who needs a vacation, I say.
You know, we were down at the train station yesterday, and I was standing there, and I was saying, oh, what is this feeling I have? And then it occurred to me, I said, oh, it feels like the first time we came over here in 1975. You know, it really felt like that. I was like, God, this is fun. This is really innocent, good fun.
So where are you taking it from here then?
Heck, we're just going to keep playing until, you know, they bring out the hook. They bring out the hook.
Well, shall we play a final track from the album itself? What would you like me to play?
Well, you know, I think that Brian isn't here, and he's, of course, an integral part of this project, and I think that his favorite track is Back When We Were Beautiful, so it's not really one that we can do without it. Neither Rodney or I play piano, so we'll, I guess, have to turn it over to the record.
Thank you for being here today. And, of course, Matresa wrote this song, didn't she?
Matresa Berg
song. So. Mm-hmm. Rodney Crowell, Emmy Lou Harris, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Bob. Yes. For just being Bob and turning us all onto some great music. Thank you. I guess you had to be there, she said. You had